It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Class. And this is It's All About Food. It's January 26, 2011, and I am speaking from a winter wonderland. New York's been hit with this crazy storm, and it promises to not let up for a while, which is kind of fun from some point of view, and not so fun from others. And as I'm looking out the window and looking at these beautiful trees that are lined in pristine white, I know that some people are thinking, how could we possibly have global warming? It doesn't look warm outside at all. And that's the interesting thing about global warming and how confusing it can be. But what we get with global warming, as the average temperature of the Earth heats up over time, we get more extreme weather conditions. So yes, the Earth is warming up, but we do see more extreme conditions like lots of snow in certain parts of the world, and we're certainly seeing it here. I don't remember a winter like this in a long time. So that's that. I also wanted to mention, before we get into the main topic of the show today, I wanted to wish a sincere and loving goodbye to Jack LaLanne, who at 96 passed this week, and he was a great model for humanity and an icon, and his story was really fascinating, how as a young child he was bullied and didn't really feel very good about himself and ultimately decided to make something and conquer his issues and became an incredible athlete. Everyone knows him with his phenomenal muscular physique, and he went on a primarily vegan diet most of his life and did a lot of juicing, and as a result he lived a long, healthy life. Thank you, Jack. My favorite expression that he came up with is, if man made it, don't eat it. And it's particularly timely with what we're going to be talking about today. And you'll get my point in a moment. I want to introduce my two guests. So we're going to bring back today David Burton. We spoke with him a little over a month ago. And he was raised in the sticks of southeastern Connecticut, always amazed by the human body and how it functions. He received his Associates of Science degree in nursing in 2005 and has since been working as a registered nurse in the hospital setting on medical, surgical, cardiac, and intensive care units. For 2 years straight, he was the president of the International Honor Society, Phi Beta Kappa, and named to the All-Connecticut academic team. He now lives in Tampa, Florida, and continues to work as a community hospital while pursuing his independent filmmaking career as president and founder of Sir Rebel Films. He has shot and directed, produced, and edited 3 short films, 2 music videos, and a documentary, and has spent the past 2 years writing, directing, and editing the documentary Ingredients, a film that has successfully blended his career as a healthcare professional with his passion for filmmaking. He is currently focusing all of his efforts on getting Ingredients into every school, healthcare center, and home in America, and plans to continue making movies that entertain and make a difference. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much for having me back.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you back. We had a great show the last time. There was so much to talk about, and there's so much more to talk about, so we're going to attack some of that today.
Yes, indeed.
And I also wanted to welcome David Lawrence Dewey, who was an author columnist and was the first journalist in 1996 to raise a warning flag to consumers concerning the deadly health effects of hydrogenated oils, aspartame, MSG, and other deadly toxins in the food supply. He has continually updated his column, Hydrogenated Oils, Silent Killers, since the latest research showing how deadly these toxins in the food supply are. The column has been read by over 42 million readers worldwide since 1996. Dewey was the content creative journalist consultant on Ingredients and worked with director David Burton on the film. And David, are you with us?
Thank you, Karen, for having me on your show today.
Oh, great. You've done a tremendous amount of work, so thank you for that.
Well, it's been a long journey. It's been one of my intent has been to help people become more aware of the chemicals that people are putting into their bodies from processed food. You know, Jack LaLanne made a very, very wise statement many years ago when he said, if man made it, don't eat it.
That's right. I just said that, yeah. It's one of my favorite expressions, and it's very timely that we're talking about him and this subject.
Well, I have a little quote of my own, and it's, if you can't pronounce the ingredient on a food product, don't eat it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think I had mentioned this on my last show with David Burton, two Davids today.
Karen, you can call me DL if you want, and
okay.
That way it'll keep the two separated.
So David Lawrence Dewey is going to be Duel for the hour, and David Burton will just be David. Great.
Lovely.
What?
Sounds lovely.
Sounds lovely. Okay. I have a background in chemical engineering, and I'm always so frustrated and ashamed to some degree that my colleagues have created such a deadly materials that we're putting into our food supply.
It's deadly in the reasoning that it's causing tremendous health care costs that do not need to be there. David can share a story with you about a patient that is probably costing taxpayers close to $1 million a year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, David and I were chatting the other day, and, you know, I'm a registered nurse. That's what I do 3 days a week. I come to the hospital and take care of acutely ill patients. And I had one a little while back, a couple weeks ago, and the gentleman was just over 700 pounds.
No,
we
I've never heard that. 700 pounds?
Oh, there's people out there even bigger than that. David was mentioning to me, I think people are getting bigger. And I said, oh, that's nothing. I see them when they can't even walk anymore, once they get to that point where they're completely bedbound, and then the medical problems really start in. That's when they come to the hospital. And we were just chatting about how they come into the hospital, and it takes so much collaboration and very expensive antibiotics and steroids and just lots of drugs and treatments and radiology scans to get these people back enough just so they can get out to, say, a rehab center. And we admit them to a rehab center. We're trying to get them better, and they usually last, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks.
And then they
and
come
then
back.
Back with, say, another complication, yes, a pneumonia or a clot
mm-hmm.
or something. And I think normally we could treat pneumonia in a week, and some of these people it takes 2 or 3 weeks, and who's paying the bill? And it's just a constant cycle of watching these people come in, and I could watch the same patient come and see me 5 times throughout the year, and they obviously don't work, and we're getting to pay for the bill. And we were just talking about how the healthcare crisis that we're in right now, so many people have this opinion that, well, I'm going to have free health care here soon. Obamacare is coming
mm-hmm.
in, and not everyone's going to be covered, and they'll just fix me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really look at these patients, you can see it when you're at the bedside that it's just not going to work like that. We just don't have
well,
the funds
to
take care of everyone.
Like that. It can't work like that, David, because people have not informed themselves of what's causing some of the diseases in their bodies. Let me give you some data pulled from the CDC. Regarding the cost of just coronary heart disease and diabetes, okay, 1.4 million Americans get stents put in them annually. Okay, 40% of them have to have them redone in 6 months. 25% of them have to have at least one stent put in, more than one stent put in. 950,000 deaths a year are due to coronary heart disease. Four people are developing coronary heart disease in this country every minute. I stress that. Four people every minute.
And we know that coronary heart disease, for the most part, is preventable and reversible with diet.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And if you add up these costs just for coronary heart disease, that represents $1.8 million, okay, just for stents alone. That equals $52 to $77 million just for stents being put in, okay? The total cost of coronary heart disease annually is hitting $3.4 trillion annually. $3.4 trillion. Now, let's talk about diabetes. Annually, $0.5 trillion is being spent on the treatment of diabetes. 22 million Americans have diabetes now. Approximately 18 million of them don't know if they have it. Okay?
Yes, and I want to mention, just like I said about coronary heart disease, that type 2 diabetes, for the most part, is also preventable and reversible with diet.
Yeah, a lot of people are looking at this as just a medical problem, but the president of the American Heart Association, Valentin Fuster, in my movie, he goes right on the record to say that heart disease is a behavior issue. Like
yeah.
you said, if it's diet and activity, and people are choosing to eat a poor diet and choosing not to be active, that's a lifestyle choice.
I want to get to some of these really ingredients that are very serious and need to be brought
in. Just close
yeah,
up in here
sure.
on this cost. The total cost just between coronary heart disease and diabetes annually is costing almost $4 trillion a year. Okay? If the FDA will ban these toxins completely, and we'll get into these completely, let's play devil's advocate here. Let's say only 25% of this is reduced. That's $1 trillion a year in health care savings costs.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a $13 trillion deficit. Hello. Why don't the Washington Crown, the politicians, why don't they get this?
Yeah, it's crazy. The numbers are mind-boggling. When I hear millions, billions, trillions, my mind doesn't comprehend what those numbers mean. They're just too big.
Well, what's sickening about this, it's getting worse.
Yeah.
More and more people are getting coronary heart disease and diabetes,
yeah.
and it's due to diet, like you said.
Absolutely.
And it's due to some of these toxins that's in the food supply.
Well, I was just reading in the New Yorker this week, and it brought out some good points. So I see two major problems, and I want to talk too much about the health care because that's a whole other show. But there seem to be two categories of people, and the one category is the kind, David, that you brought up, the 700-pound man. There are a very small number of people who are continually tapping into the healthcare system and are never really treated properly. And as a result, because of poor treatment, poor education, poor information, and a really unfortunate lifestyle, they just keep tapping into the situation, going into the healthcare scene and going to the emergency room, and they use up a lot of that of the healthcare dollars.
But Karen, I think this is by choice of these people, and the reason why I say
well, we don't
is,
know if it's by choice, and it's a complicated situation. But that's one piece. Then there's the other piece, which is everyone else. And these are the people I'm talking to specifically today because we all have choices, and if we just simply made some informed decisions, it could make a tremendous difference.
I completely agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean about some of these people is choices that they make, that's what I was referring to. These people get in a cycle, and the reason why I say this, I have been in grocery stores where I have seen people of largeness. And I have tried to educate them on, you know, what they're eating. And nearly every time they look at me, and I've heard this, I don't know, thousands of times, well, we're going to die of something sometime,
sure.
you know. And to me, that I just can't fathom how a person can think like that.
Well, you can't always provide information to people when they're not open and receptive to it. That's part of it. And so people have to want to have the information, but also the information needs to be all around us so that when we're ready for it, it's there. It needs to be coming from mainstream media. It's not. It needs to be coming from the schools. It's not. It needs to be coming from the government. It's not. And
yeah,
it needs to be
doctors.
Coming from the doctors, and it's not.
Yeah,
and
that's a big problem.
If everyone was aligned with this information and people just kept hearing all around them, fruits and vegetables, fruits and vegetables, fruits and vegetables, don't buy anything with hydrogenated vegetable oil, don't buy anything with aspartame, and so on, more and more would get it. So it really needs, we all need to be aligned in this, and we're not.
Well, what do you think is causing this non-alignment?
Well, it's all about ingredients, isn't it?
Thank you. It's all about greed, right, David?
Right.
It's tough to argue with that one. I think I said it last month on your show. It's we have a broken system, but the system is making a very few people a lot of money, and those are the ones that have the power to fix it. So we kind of have to demand control back. It all starts with individuals like yourself, Karen, like David, who's writing these articles, like me, who decided to just make some film on a whim when I'm a nurse and not a filmmaker.
Exactly.
Those are the people that seem to be getting the message out there directly to the people. So
I've been doing this for 15 years, and it's become to the point where that's why in my latest column I said, hello, are you listening, Washington? Are you listening, America? Because it seems like you made an interesting comment here, and you said that people have to be receptive to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what part of the problem is that when we start talking about some of these additives and toxins, some of these are actually addictive. And I don't think people are even aware that these additives they've become addicted to some.
Yeah, they're not aware. No.
And I want to make one statement here right up front here about hydrogenated oils. You know, the FDA labeling thing, which was pushed through very inaccurately, manufacturers can say zero trans fat, even though per serving it may have up to 0.5 gram of trans fat. But I want to clarify something. Trans fats is simply a byproduct of hydrogenated oils. The main problem is hydrogenated oils. You can reduce or take out the trans fats. That's not the primary problem. It is the molecularly changed natural oils. When you are aware of what they use as metals to fuse into these
mm-hmm.
oils at high temperature, you're actually ingesting toxic metals. So it's hydrogenated oils or partially hydrogenated oils. They're toxic. Forget about the trans fats. They're bad, but they're a byproduct of the process.
What I tell my listeners all the time is the first order of defense here is each of us as individuals making informed choices and buying products that we support with our own dollars. And if more people supported quality products, healthy products, then the bad products would go by the wayside, because it is all about greed. It is all about profit. But that being said, it certainly helps to have government support. And DL, you sent us the United States Government Accountability Office report to the congressional committees, which just came out. And this is on food labeling. The FDA needs to reassess its approach to protecting consumers from false or misleading claims. This is a pretty extensive article. And some of the things I wanted to point out that I was looking at is towards the end of the it's a very long article, some 60 pages. In the appendix, they have warning letters issued for claim violations on food labels and websites from December 2009 through February 2010.
And nothing's been done about it.
Excuse me?
And nothing's been done about it.
Well, not that just nothing's been done, but just to read the companies and their products and the claims that they've made, which are not really legitimate or legal, and you just can see, because they know what they're doing. They know what they're saying.
Oh, they know very well what they're doing.
So, I mean, here's an example. Nestle has Juicy Juice all-natural 100% juice, orange, tangerine, Juicy Juice all-natural 100% juice, grape. And the violation is that this product implies that the products are 100% juice when they are actually juice blends with added flavors.
And you said flavors. There's the kicker.
Yeah.
Those flavors are chemically made. They're not natural flavors.
And there's a lot associated with that. But there's just so many subtle things that where the average consumer is thinking that they're buying something that's healthy, and you really have to be very vigilant in reading the ingredients before you buy something that's packaged.
You got to read the labels.
You just follow Jack LaLanne's law, if man made it, don't eat it, and just stick to the produce section. But then you have to be concerned about pesticides and herbicides.
Well, that's a whole completely different
area. It's a whole bag of worms, isn't it?
It really is.
And then, you know, there's another side to the coin. I'm reading here some more of these warning letters, but there are, for example, healthy vegetables and fruits. You cannot make claims for healthy vegetables and fruits that they will impact disease, because it's not authorized by the FDA for use on food products. So this one company that was selling purple carrot products said that their product will reduce the risk of cancer and stroke. Well, we know that lots of vegetables and fruits have tremendous impact on the reduction of chronic diseases, far more than all the medications that are out there. But you can't put that on a fruit or vegetable label.
But this is where the consumer has to educate themselves on what natural foods do for the body.
Yeah, but this whole labeling concept goes both ways. We can't put useful information on some foods, and we can put misleading information on other foods.
That's the FDA. That's just the whole point. The FDA is just completely controlled by the food corporations and the drug corporations. They represent two people. Food companies and drug companies. And the little guy that eats the food and the little guy that eats these drugs, they're not represented by the FDA. It's unfortunate. I think that was a big mission of our movie, was to get that across, because that was a big shock to us. We didn't believe it. And then we started reading a few things and went, yeah, this is a conspiracy theory. You're not telling me that some government organization that's supposed to be responsible for the whole food supply isn't really protecting us.
Right.
It took me a while to buy into it. But eventually, you read enough literature, you realize it's actually true. The lobbyists up there are creating the laws with their dollars, and the FDA is following suit with it, and it's unfortunate.
Do you know how many lobbyists are in Washington? Over 14,000. Do you know how many of them particularly deal with food out of that 14,000?
Mm.
Almost 1,100.
Mm-hmm.
These are employed by corporations that push this and that, this and that, this and that.
That's right. So what do you
think? Again, we've got to get individuals to take the responsibility for themselves. People need to understand that the FDA is not necessarily put in place to protect them, and if it was put in place, it's just not really happening. So like you said, you've got to pick up a box of food and understand that everything on the front of that box is what the company wants you to know, and it's useless information.
Mm-hmm.
You have to turn that box over. You've got to find the part that says ingredients, and you've got to read what's in it. And then you got to start using some common sense and maybe some research. And like David said, if you can't pronounce it, don't eat it. That's the beautiful rule I tell the middle schoolers when I teach them.
David, you said something interesting. Common sense.
Yeah.
You know, what we're talking about here is simply common sense. And that's what the message that David tried has done in his film Ingredients, and that has been my efforts over these 15 years by providing the information on all of these toxins. And I have a compliment column article on my website that details a lot of these toxins, and hopefully we'll get into some of them here.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
And we've talked hydrogenated oils. I've pretty much covered that one, but there's another culprit out there that the food industry has renamed, okay, and they're called monodiglycerides.
Oh, yeah, we started talking about that last time. This is really important.
These are nothing but hydrogenated oils.
And they're not getting any press.
And they're not getting any press. And some of them have...
Because they have less than half a gram per serving.
Thank you. But again, they've been hydrogenated, okay? Again, I stress the point. Oils have been molecularly changed through the hydrogenation process. and therefore they produce trans fats, which are bad. They cause LDL to rise and everything. But because those oils have been molecularly changed, the body doesn't know what to do with them. And it can actually create adverse disease problems. There's been studies that have shown that hydrogenated oils have a tremendous impact on the production of insulin and how it regulates glucose. So what I don't understand is some of these studies have been performed in other countries by researchers. And something that's always amazed me about the FDA is that they won't recognize studies done by qualified medical researchers in other countries. It has to be researchers in the United States. Now, is that stupid?
Well, it gets worse than that. The FDA uses the research that's done by the food and the drug companies. The FDA doesn't honestly do any research on their own.
No.
Independent studying.
Well, and the studies that are performed here in the United States, 90% of them are funded by the companies that are making
the products, right?
You know,
that's part of their responsibility. If you're going to get a food additive approved, you've got to pay for the funding and get it all done. The FDA's not going to jump in. They don't have the money.
That's why in the movie
we tried to take some responsibility off them, because in reality, the FDA doesn't have the funding to do what they should be doing.
Well,
they don't have the staffing, David, to do it.
They don't have the funding. This is why I have advocated for years that funding must be supplied independently for the FDA to give grants to independent researchers that do not have to worry about money coming from corporations to do studies.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
That's what needs to happen. Yep,
wouldn't that be nice? Okay, David, we need to take a quick break, a few minutes. So get a drink of water or something, and we'll be back in a few minutes. We have a lot more to talk about, and I wanted to get to some of these other nasty ingredients. We'll be right back.
To PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
South of the border.
Hello, I'm Johnny Mueller, and I have a brand new show called The Expat Files, and it's all about living, working, playing, or retiring in Latin America. I know what it's like to buy land, build a house, start a business. I've been through it in a dozen Latin countries. So, if you're thinking about moving down or you're just curious, be sure to listen in Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Down Mexico way.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. I've been on radio for 37 years, every day, and I'm pleased that the Progressive Radio Network exists, because this is the one form that brings together some of the most important, probing, creative, and dynamic minds on the planet. Join us each and every day, 24/7, on the Progressive Radio Network, your home for independent thinking.
Don't miss out on Dr. Michio Kaku's weekly show, Explorations. Dr. Kaku is the only scientist with his own nationally syndicated radio show. Explorations is the program that explains complex physics with an accessible approach. So take an exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku, Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to discuss topics ranging from space exploration to stem cell research.
Wonder why some people have successful lives? Well, let's shrink about this. Hi, I'm Dr. Molly Barrow, author of Matchlines for Singles and the Malia and Teacup Self-Esteem Building Series for Children. Please join me and my guests every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to explore psychological and practical problem solving, from personal issues to world events. You can call in to join the conversation or just enjoy listening. If you're looking for balance in your relationship, career choices, family, and your planet, please join Dr. Molly Barrow and Shrink About This Tuesday at 10 Eastern on www.progressiveradionetwork.com.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. And I'm here with David Burton and David Lawrence Dewey. They both have great websites. You can check out David Burton's film Ingredients at ingredientsmovie.com. And David Lawrence Dewey has his website, which is simply D as in David, L as in Lawrence, Dewey, DEWEY.com. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Hi.
So I'm actually on your site, DL, and I'm looking at your article that you recently posted, and I'm reading about some of these ingredients. Can you tell us a little about neotame?
Oh, neotame is 50 times worse than aspartame.
I never heard of neotame.
Oh, it's the same folks that created aspartame Monsanto. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know there's over 100 research studies that have confirmed serious adverse health reactions with aspartame, causing everything from gene alterations to brain tumors, kidney and liver tumors. Okay, two Italian studies have proven this. Okay, neotame is simply a substrate of aspartame, but it's more chemically synergistic negatively. Okay, in other words, it can do more harm, and yet the FDA has approved it. And, you know, you think organic is organic? Well, it's not anymore.
But how could it be? It's not listed as an ingredient.
They don't have to list it.
So how do we know it's there?
You don't.
Wait a minute.
How do we avoid it?
What you look for, if you're buying organic, the only way that they can't put it in there is if it says USDA certified organic or certified kosher. If the organic says that on there, okay, they can't put it in there. But if it says organic and it does not say USDA certified organic or certified kosher product, then it very well possibly could have it in there.
Okay.
Scary stuff.
Very scary.
MSG is one of the most toxic neurotoxins that's out there. And what most people don't realize is anything that says autolyzed yeast extract or maltodextrin, or if it says yeast extract in the ingredients, guess what it has in it?
Monosodium glutamate.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it does.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. And MSG, there's been many studies done on it that shows how it affects so many different organs in the body. Hormones. I've had people through the years email me and ask me, I've had these horrendous migraine headaches for years, and I email them back and I say, are you eating products that have MSG in it? If you do, stop. They stop eating products with MSG. They email me back and say, my migraines have stopped.
Wow. I know that in the old days when MSG was used pretty liberally in Chinese food, I used to get these pressure in my temples. But that practice has gone away to some degree where they're not liberally shaking MSG all over the food because people got a little savvy. But it's still...
Well,
in foods.
What most people don't understand is it can build up in the liver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just like all of these toxins can. Okay? Did you know sodium chloride that's in a lot of products?
Salt.
It's a, Well, but sodium chloride is actually used as a pesticide.
Hmm.
It can cause hypertension and other similar health problems. Sodium glutamate, okay, this has been shown to be have acute toxicity to fish, aqua type organisms, severe toxicity, but yet it's allowed in the food supply. You know, canola oil is another example. In 1996, the Japanese did a study where they confirmed that animals that were on a canola diet, it actually affected how their liver was functioning, how it was affecting their immune system. And canola oil, Monsanto again, they took what was called rapeseed. Rapeseed is very high in uric acid, and uric acid is very toxic to the human body. Okay, Monsanto dehybridized rapeseed. In other words, supposedly taking out the genes that created the uric acid. However, there has been analysis of certain canola oil, and they have found up to 2% of uric acid in canola oil. And toxicity starts at 4%.
Mm.
Okay, canola oil is again a man-made food. It's made from genetically altered seeds from rapeseed. Okay,
that's why they renamed it to canola oil. It's Canadian oil. It's almost all made in Canada.
Well, what's interesting about canola? It's kind of fallen through some loophole because you can get organic canola oil, and yet genetically modified foods aren't considered eligible for the organic label.
You brought up something very interesting again, Karen. This is what David was talking about. This is where the lobbyists get things pushed through the FDA. Canola oil is not a natural oil. It's been genetically modified by man. It's not a natural seed.
Mm-hmm.
We did find in our research one really good use for canola oil, actually, while we were researching for ingredients, movie.
Yeah.
We actually found it on the EPA's website, registered as a pesticide.
Oh.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, Nance, David. Thank you. I forgot about that.
Okay.
It's actually registered as a pesticide with the EPA. I had to look at that one myself because I didn't believe it either, but they've got it on there. And I said, oh, well, that's a good use for it.
You know, and there's other toxins like all the dyes and colorings, red dye 40, yellow 6, yellow 5, blue 1. All of these have been shown in studies to cause thyroid tumors, lymphomas, cancer, chromosome gene damage, brain tumors.
One of my favorite products that has color in it is, what's that, electrolyte beverage? Oh, Gatorade.
Oh. wonder why athletes are dying from sudden heart death?
Mm.
It's because of some of the Gatorade products have aspartame in it.
Yeah.
And all of them have hydrogen down, corn syrup.
Well, aspartame breaks down into methanol and formaldehyde in the body. Do you remember during the Gulf War, a lot of the soldiers over there were getting severely ill, and they traced it to the possibility it was due to the soft drinks.
Right.
That were on the car mats sitting out in the heat, because aspartame, when there was a 12-year-old girl that did a science project several years ago, and she showed how soft drinks that have aspartame in it, if they're set out and they get too hot, it actually converts into benzene.
Oh, that's so yummy.
Well, not the aspartame. The sodium benzenate that uses a preservative in them breaks down into benzene.
Right.
It combines with the aspartame, which breaks down into methanol and formaldehyde. And guess what you've got? You've got a very toxic chemical duo.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Which is why aspartame is so much worse if you put it in your hot coffee as opposed to if you're drinking it in a cold beverage. It's bad either way.
Yeah, you're drinking pure methanol. You're drinking pure methanol because it's the heat that breaks it down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
And you know, methanol is ketanol. It's toxic to the liver. And, you know, there's bleach flours and in bleached and enriched flours. Okay. Do people know what bleached means?
Obviously not.
It means that chlorine, like the bleach that you use to wash clothes, if you use that, it means flowers have been washed with it.
Right. And there's residual chlorine in the flower.
In the flower. And the reason why the corporations do that is that it, by doing that, it extracts all the natural vitamins, minerals out of the flowers. And guess what the corporations do? They resell them.
Mm.
And that's why you, on ingredients, you see enriched flowers.
Yeah.
That's because they have to put certain vitamins and minerals back into the flower.
I know. It's crazy.
It's stupidity. And then you got modified food starch. Okay, modified food starch also has MSG in it.
Oh,
honestly, MSG is
mm-hmm.
going to be one of the biggest, is the most difficult ones to get out. It's really tough.
Because it goes by so many names.
Exactly. It goes by so many names. You're going to find it so much processed food. If people out there listening eat things that are pre-made, I mean, everybody eats a little bit of processed food, you know, things that come from a can in a box, and you have to read the labels, but the really bad stuff, like just your frozen dinners where the whole meal is prepared in there, you're guaranteed to have MSG form or the other.
You said something interesting. If they eat a lot of this processed food, they're getting it from many different sources of all these different toxins of these,
mm-hmm.
and it builds
right.
up in the body. You know, high fructose corn syrup just really blows my mind how the corn industry is coming out saying that it's sugar. Oh, good Lord.
Well, yeah, I don't think so. It's not even fructose.
You know, Princeton University research team has demonstrated that it's not. You know, it just mind boggles my mind how some of these corporations, what they can do to try to literally brainwash people into thinking the untruth about things.
And then they tell us that it's not, it's the same. And
but it's not, it's fructose.
They tell us high fructose corn syrup is the same as fructose, and it's not.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during the 1930s and 40s, okay, diabetes type 2 was unheard of, okay? It was unheard of. They had two cases of type 1 diabetes per 100,000 population up until about the 1930s. Crisco, which is hydrogenated oils, was invented in 1910.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1940s, at the turn of the century, there was only 2.8 diagnosed cases of type 1 diabetes. By 1949, that had jumped to 16.4 per 100,000 population. That is a 600% increase in 50 years.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because Crisco literally had to give Crisco away because nobody would buy it. Farmers that would take it home to feed to their pigs
mm-hmm.
stopped taking it to feed their pigs because it started killing their pigs.
Wow. Oh, but when you add sugar to it and you put it between two chocolate cookies, it makes a great Oreo.
Oh, it makes a great... Oh, yeah, but just, guess what you've just got? You've not... And then the calcium... See, what people don't understand is calcification causes major health problems in the body. It causes coronary heart disease. It causes calcium kidney stones build up in your kidneys. You know, when you combine calcium with these toxin ingredients, your body can't process that calcium out of the body, and guess where it starts getting deposited? In your heart and your kidneys and your liver.
Okay.
You know what?
There are so many different ingredients that are in our food supply.
Let me just name a few of them. There's propylene glycol. There's sodium benzoate. There's carrageenan. Carrageenan, oh, that's in cosmetics. You really need to stay away from that. There's propylene glycol. There's sodium nitrate. Nitrates have been shown to cause heart disease. Okay, and they're used in meats all over the place. There's the artificial colorings. There's the sulfites. There's BHT. And here's a good one. McDonald's McNugget. McNuggets. I can't even pronounce it. Dimethylpolysiloxane. Okay? It's basically silicone. That is in McDonald's McNuggets.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, there's TBHQ. It's used as a preservative. Studies done on pigs where they're fed TBHQ, their skin falls off. On mice, they have skeletal mutations, leukemia, lymphomas, poor birth rate, skin lesions, bladder cancer, hair loss. The list goes on. And what scares me is that children are eating this. Children are eating this. And I don't understand where parents cannot become more concerned about what they're feeding their children.
Well, because it's packaged and it looks clean, and that's what their kids are screaming for, and they just want
they're
them
asking
to,
for it.
They want them to be quiet.
And we've got that whole junk food marketing to kids, which I have to get on the bandwagon to say it shouldn't even be legal. I don't think you should be able to market something to a child that doesn't even know the difference between reality and a commercial.
That's right. We'll get them while they're young.
See, it's brainwashing them. And like I said, a lot of these toxins and additives that they put in here, they're actually addictive. You know, recently, First Lady Obama, just a few days ago, she did a press conference, and she was applauding Walmart coming out that they were going through their Great Value brand was going to provide good and healthy food. You know, I really admire First Lady Obama because she has taken steps to try to start protecting our children regarding foods and obesity in this country. But I'm sorry, I don't think she quite gets it. I don't think what she doesn't get is the toxin ingredients in it. And if you look at some of the Great Value products, and I pulled up some and it's in my article, good Lord, there's EDTA, there's BH and VHT in some of these foods. There's hydrolyzed corn, hydrolyzed this, yeast extract, modified waxy starch, modified food starch, maltodextrin. I mean, the list goes on and on. People need to read their food labels. So Walmart's Great Value brand, to me, it's just a laden with toxins that are only going to make the problem worse.
You know, there's, it. How do I say this? Part of the situation kind of feeds itself, where when people eat poorly, it's harder for them to have clarity. It's harder, and it's been shown that people who don't eat very well, their IQs aren't as high as those who are well-nourished.
You're absolutely correct here, and there's been studies done on that that shows that people that do not have proper nutrition, their IQs can be actually less.
And so it's going to be harder for those people and their families and their children to make informed choices because they are not as intelligent as they were designed to be. And so they're more apt to be swayed by the marketing and the perceived low prices. And
yeah, it's really tough to fight that. That they're cheap, they taste good, and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
But see, here's the mentality again in this country. And some of the mentality goes into other talk shows, okay? And I'm going to issue a personal challenge today, okay, to Oprah, Ellen DeGeneres, Dr. Oz, Bill Maher, and the host on The View, Barbara Whoopi, Joy, Sherry, and Elizabeth. Okay? These are issues. We have crisis in this country. We have high unemployment. We have this. We have that. This, to me, is the most important crisis that we have in this country.
I agree.
Because it's definitely affecting health. It's affecting health care costs, and I'm issuing a personal challenge to these other talk show hosts. Why are you not talking about this on your shows?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not talking about it? You know, Whoopi, you have grandchildren. Sherry, you have a son. Elizabeth, you have children. You know, why are you not bringing this to the forefront on your talk shows? You can reach so many people with this.
And yeah, well, maybe they're concerned about their advertising.
They're going to lose. You're right. You're right, Karen. They're going to lose their corporate advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about greed again.
Oh goodness! So it's really up to us as individuals, isn't it? We can't depend on the people we watch on television. We can't depend on the people we elect in office. We can only depend on ourselves.
You're absolutely correct, Karen.
And this unfortunately, there's no other way. You're absolutely right.
This is the purpose of shows like you do.
Yeah.
And people need to start listening to more shows like you, listening to your show, to where they can become more informed. And they, you need to start telling your family and friends about shows like Karen's and other shows, because you're not going to get it anywhere else. You're not going to get it from mainstream media.
You know what else? You mentioned something earlier in the show, how you try and share this information with people, and often the response is, well, we're all going to die anyway, so what does it matter? One of the approaches that I really like and that I encourage is that when we're eating a really healthy diet, we look good, we feel good. People notice that, and they ask you, what is it you're doing?
What is
Why
it
is it that you're glowing? Why is it you're so vibrant? You're how old? You don't look that age, et cetera, et cetera. If we follow this path of healthy eating, healthy lifestyle, and look our best, I think that's the best way to get the message out.
You're absolutely correct, Karen. It affects so much about the body.
Mm-hmm. It's a, you know, it's all be the change you want to see.
You know, David, when Dave and I were talking yesterday, we were talking about different things. And when he told me about this 700-pound patient, that's commonplace. That is happening a lot in this country.
Yeah.
And this has got to be addressed, because if it's not, you think health care costs have been going up the last 4 or 5 years? It's going to get much worse.
Yeah. Having improved health insurance plans is nice, but
it's not
going to
solve this
problem.
It's not going to solve this problem. What's going to solve the problem is getting these deadly toxins out of the food supply.
Yeah.
Banning them. Several countries have already done this. Denmark banned completely hydrogenated oils 11 years ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. You didn't mention, maybe it's on your list here, but, well, it's not directly in the food, but there's all of these genetically modified foods, and there's recumbent bovine growth hormone that we add to
cow's milk. It's so pervasive. It gets into all the – genetically modified food is the most – it's Frankenstein food.
Yeah.
And it's actually – there's been studies that have actually shown chromosome gene damage in animals by – eating genetically altered food.
It's pretty scary. So, is there any good news?
The best news is read your labels.
Read your labels.
Read your labels.
Bring your reading glasses to the supermarket.
Pick it up, and if you can't pronounce it, you don't know what it is, don't eat it. Stay to the basics. Stay to the natural foods. Cook your own meals. Stop buying all this processed stuff. Bake your own bread at home. I've been baking my own bread at home for 15 years.
No, there's nothing like homemade baked bread.
Every step you take, like you guys are talking about, of starting to get away from the processed food and eating more fruits and vegetables, eating more organic, cooking more food, baking your own bread, you can't do it all at once. It's a step-by-step process. Every step you will feel better. Every step your food will taste better. I mean, you think right now that nothing tastes better than a double quarter pounder cheeseburger, but in reality, when you start tasting these new fresh organic fruits and vegetables, there's nothing like it in the world. And a lot of people say that they feel fine the way they are now, and you get them just to try a new diet for a few days or a week, and they go, wow, I didn't know how bad I felt till I actually started feeling really good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, exercise regimen.
You've seen that by many of the students that you've been talking to in classrooms.
I'm seeing it when they're only 13, and I'm lucky enough to, I have one school here locally in Holiday, Florida, where I've been going every semester for about 2.5 years now, so I get to actually go back and talk to the kids 3 months later. New students come in and they go, hey, I remember you. They see me in the hall and they go, hey, I stopped eating those partially hydrogenated oils and I feel better and thank you.
Wow.
And that's where you really, you know you're onto something. When
mm-hmm.
a 13-year-old kid can grasp this concept, apply it, feel better, and now start passing that to his parents and really make the change, you know you're onto something good here. So
David did something very amazing. He explained how 12, 13-year-olds are grasping this.
Yeah.
Why can't we adults grasp this.
Because we have that, they have that habit, David. I've spent so much time trying to teach an old dog new tricks, and not that I've given up on them, but I've found that it's easier to convince their children how to eat better and let those kids go home and tell mom and dad how to eat. And you know what? I find a 13-year-old thinks it's pretty cool that they know something mom and dad don't.
Mm.
And they think it's pretty neat to bring it home and go, guess what I learned? That you don't know. You've been eating this garbage and it's making you sick. And I'm going to change it.
And they're empowered. That's the impact that you're having, David. You know, you're singing to the choir here. I've been doing this for 15 years, and I've had hundreds of thousands of emails from people that have emailed after they've changed their diet, and they go, oh, my God, thank you, after they eliminate this stuff out of their diet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other day I was at a grocery store, and I cannot believe what this person was buying. I counted the packages of processed frozen dinners and pot pies and this and everything. 58 different packages of frozen processed food. I looked at this person and I said, are you sure you want to be eating all that?
Oh, and they look at you like, who the hell do you think you are?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's I know how you feel. I see it all the time, but that is not the time to say something.
Well, you know, when you see someone like that, and the reason why I said that, this person was probably weighed about 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Pat was on oxygen.
Yeah, oh gosh. Yeah.
So I normally don't speak up like that, but it just,
you wanted to help.
I felt so sorry for that person.
It is frustrating when we know how to solve a problem, especially because we don't want people to be uncomfortable. We don't want people to have pain and suffering, and so much of it is so unnecessary if we could just lift the veil.
Well, that's why I've done what I've done for 15 years, Karen. I mean, when I first started writing about this, my colleagues thought I had gone off the nut.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they really thought I had just gone off the nut. Well, who has the last laugh today?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, we're not laughing. Okay, guys, we've come to the end of the hour. A lot of good stuff, but there's still a lot more to talk about, and we just have to keep talking about it because it's so important.
And I'd like to say one last thing.
Yes, please.
Anyone that has listened to this today, you go out and read my article, email your family and friends. One voice can become millions, but it has to start someplace.
That's right. Let it start with me. So please, the website's David Lawrence Dewey, has DLDEWEY.com. And David Burton's Ingredients movie. Order the CD, watch the movie. It's fun and informative. Go to ingredientsmovie.com. That's ingredientsmovie.com. Thank you, David. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Karen.
And I'm Karen Harkless.
You have a good show.
Thank you.
It
was a great show. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening. If you have any comments during the week, you can send them to info@realmeals.org, and I'd be happy to hear them and start up a dialogue. Thanks for listening. This has been It's All About Food.